This.
Okay, we are now joined by today's runner-up, Kyle Larson.
WFO Radio. We're going to go straight to the question.
Kyle, our first question.
Yeah, Kyle, do you I mean, looking back, would you try to push it more on that last run early, or did, or do you feel like you had to save something there for the end because of the long run?
I mean, no, I was pushing the whole time. Every lap, really, from when I left pit road, I was trying to get out to a big gap, but I never really did. You know, I think I extended it a little bit, but not nearly enough. So, you know, where before the other green flag stops, you know, I could exit pit road and I feel like I'd gain a few seconds over the course of like 20 laps. And it just, I was hoping it was going to be like that. You know, I thought, you know, me having to race him and pass him was what used my tires up the you know, little run before. But after the green flag stop, it was just, you know, he was just really good. And I couldn't get out to that gap that I could earlier in the race. And, ultimately, just had to race my or run my tires too hard to try and get that gap. And then, you know, I didn't have anything there at the end.
Do you think if you had gotten by Logano at all or quicker that you would have been able to hold off Ryan, or was he coming so fast that didn't matter?
I mean, it's hard to say. I definitely would have had a better shot had I gotten by Logano when I got to him. But, yeah, I mean, it just was hard. Yeah, my tires were pretty much gone at that point. I was sliding around, and, I just didn't get through traffic good then.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead with the question, Jim.
Hey, Kyle, with 56 laps in the final run on the tires, would you have hoped for a late race caution, or did you think that you guys would be able to navigate that distance and keep the lead?
Well, initially, yeah, I mean, I wanted to go green because I'd been so good on the long runs, but then when I realized that, you know, he was better than me and he was catching me there at the end, yeah, I was definitely hoping for a caution just to get some new tires on it and hopefully come out the leader and, you know, control the restart and try and win that way. Cause I knew I was in trouble, but it didn't play out that way.
Thanks, Cal.
Great. Our next question will come from Steve Conley. Go with the question, Steve.
Kyle, I'm curious in regards to the track surface. It's asked all the time if this place needs to be repaved. What is your opinion? Is it past the point of raceability? And does that need to happen sooner or later?
I mean, I enjoy surfaces that are wore out, you know, where you can move around. So, you know, I hope this place doesn't ever get repaved, but I feel like each year, you know, we talk about it more and more. So we'll see what they do, but I enjoy it how it is. I mean, you know, if it's not repaved, it's totally different style of race. So, I mean, it's kind of whatever you're into, but for me as a driver, I'm into this style.
And with today's performance going, when we look to Texas and we look to Kentucky or Atlanta the second time around, what is your expectations for the rest of the season for these types of racetracks?
Yeah, our Hendrick Chevys have been really good on the mile and a half. Really, I mean, every track so far this season. So I'm excited to go to the racetrack every weekend. But, you know, I with getting my win at Vegas and then being good today on another mile and a half, I think I look forward to the mile and a half the most. But, yeah, just fun to have cars that are this good, and it gives us confidence as a team each weekend.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with the question, Jordan.
Hey, Kyle, kind of following up on that a little bit. What is the ceiling for this team? You mentioned the win at Vegas. Today you guys were dominant. What are you guys capable of? And does this give you a kind of hope for the rest of the season that you guys can do something special?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to win today to really pick up some momentum. But, yeah, I mean, we've had the fastest car most weekends. So if we can continue to evolve and continue to get better, yeah, I mean, we can do great things. Our pit crew has been really good. Our car has been really fast. So I feel like for the most part, I've been doing a good job. So with all that and Cliff and all the guys making good decisions on the box, yeah, we can definitely go out there and keep contending. And if we can contend as much as we are, yeah, I mean, we can win a lot of races.
Is this the first time in your career where you're going to every track on a week-to-week basis when you feel like you can dominate and win every single race?
2017, we were really strong. Probably not this strong. But yeah, I mean, 2017 also, you know, I was a little bit like surprised that we were that good, you know, early in the season because normally we weren't. But once I realized, you know, we were, you know, a top two car to the 78 at that time, you know, I felt like I could win every time, but I didn't really, from what I remember, like dominate races like I did today, but yeah, I was confident in like I am now.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Alex Gaze. Go ahead with the question, Alex.
Hey, Kyle, just a non-race question for you. You know, NASCAR put out a tweet before the race honoring the victims of the Atlanta Spa shootings earlier this week. Just curious your thoughts on how NASCAR has done, you know, bringing light to real world issues and bringing that and tying it in with the sport.
Yeah, I feel like NASCAR has done a great job. I mean, you look at everything they did last year, after my deal, and then everything that they did here at Atlanta was great, you know, Talladega, and really throughout the whole season they continued it through now. So yeah, the real life stuff hits hard with everybody, and you know, I feel like NASCAR as a sport's done a great job to get ahead of it and honor those people.
And just as a follow-up to that, just how were you personally able to process this week?
I really didn't, you know, pay too much attention to it, but obviously, you know, me being Asian American, I started noticing it more and more, and it definitely, you know, hits closer to me probably. But yeah, you know, hopefully, you know, things will get better in our world, and it's just a terrible, terrible time for Asians, and you know, I hope it gets better.
Our final question for Kyle is going to come from Alan Cavana. Go ahead with the question, Alan.
Yeah, and Kyle, I had a question on a similar front. I mean, all the work you've done away from the track in the past year, you know, how that has affected your mind when something like the Spa shootings do happen and your reaction to them?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I did do a lot of stuff last year, and it's definitely opened my eyes to, you know, how people are treated differently, and you know, that's something I never really paid attention to before. So, you know, it stinks that, you know, somebody can be treated differently because of their race or the color of their skin. So that's really what I learned a lot about last year. And so, yeah, it definitely means more to me now than, you know, maybe it would have in the past after everything that I went through.
It's not necessarily anyone's responsibility, but when you do have a platform, do you feel the need to be more forward on any issue when something does come up?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think us as athletes, for sure, you know, we have powerful voices, so we can try and, you know, lead a change. So it's definitely important. And like, you know, we mentioned earlier, NASCAR has done a great job on these topics as well.
All right, thank you.
And Kyle, thanks for taking the time. Good luck next weekend on the dirt at Bristol Motor Speedway.
All right. Thank you.
Good deal. We are now joined by today's third place finisher, Alex Bowman. Alex, why don't you walk us through your run today?
Yeah, thanks. We had a pretty solid day. I felt like, you know, we just kind of struggled on long runs a little bit, but had really good pit stops all day. Our Ally Camaro was pretty fast. Decent restarts. Nothing went wrong for once. It seems like every race all year, something's gone wrong, right? So just glad that we were able to finally put an entire day together and not have anything go wrong. And Greg called a great race. We were just a little off. Was on the splitter a little bit over the bumps. And then would kind of snap the back of the car out of the racetrack after that. So, solid day. Really proud of the 48 team and on to the dirt race next weekend.
Good deal. We're going to start with Jim Utter. Go ahead with the question, Jim.
Hey, Alex, you touched on this, but you guys have shown for the most part as much speed as your teammates so far this season, but have not been able to obviously capitalize on the results. Although you didn't really have a chance to capture the win today, did it feel good to be in that position?
Yeah, absolutely. We've struggled in some areas this year that have been pretty frustrating. I feel like we've really struggled in dirty air, maneuverability in traffic and restarts and stuff, and worked really hard at bringing somebody to the racetrack that I could be aggressive with and could drive hard. So felt good to have that, to be able to pass cars. And, my pit crew did a great job keeping us up front as well. So, it definitely feels good to be closer to the front. You know, we want to be a couple spots better, but after the last couple weeks, this definitely feels pretty good.
And in general, the performance of Hendrick Motorsports, how does it feel for you guys right now to be a part of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, every day walking into HMS for me is a dream come true. So still enjoying every minute of it. But I feel like, you know, this is the strongest start to the season the company overall has had. I feel like as a race team, we were a little better the beginning of last year than we are the beginning of this year. Like, felt like us specifically could have won Vegas. We did win Fontana, came back after the break pretty strong. So, I feel like we're a little behind, but, the 5 and 24 specifically are super fast each and every week. And it always is good to be able to learn from them. So, everything is going really well. A lot of really smart people working really hard back at the shop, and it's paying off.
Thanks, Alex.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Alex, the car, you guys got strung out a little bit today. I'm curious, does the surface have anything to do with it? And then also, when they talk about repave, does it matter if they repave between July and the start of the 2022 season with the next gen car? Like, would you, if you're going to start, you know, does it matter to you or to drivers at all about, you know, that? If you're going to change something, why not change everything all at once?
I don't know. I feel like the surface, you're going slower, so it's a little more forgiving just because the abrasiveness of the racetrack. You can have some huge corrections and still catch the race cars. So that's probably why it gets as strung out as it does. There's really no mechanical grip once the tires are worn off. So I feel like that's another reason it gets strung off or strung out. Aero grip is super important, so it's hard to follow somebody closely. As far as repaving it, I haven't driven the new car yet, so it's really hard for me to say. I hope they never repave this place. I think the slick racetracks are so much fun, and we've repaved some places and not had the races that we used to at those racetracks. So, I love the fact that you can run from the bottom all the way to the outside wall here. You can move around. It's got so much character. I understand the need to repave it, right? But from a race car driver's perspective, I hope they never do. I love these places with character.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead with the question, Kelly.
Thanks. Hey, Alex, I wanted to go back to what you just said about learning from the 5 and the 24. What have those lessons been? And I guess just how close are all four cars to each other, or are you guys just completely different? So what's applying, I guess, that you're learning from the other two?
Yeah, I feel like all four cars are really similar each and every week. The team does a really, really good job of working together and bringing the best product to the racetrack that they can. I feel like, every crew chief has their own interpretation. Every engineer has their own interpretation of the data and the tools that we have at HMS. So there are differences in all four cars. Doesn't matter if you think you're showing up the same as a teammate, different teams just kind of do things just a little bit differently, right? And little things add up at these events. So they're definitely close. It's an open notebook. That's the best part. So when we struggle a little bit and our teammates are up front, you know, we can go to them and lean on them, which is great. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the things are or aren't, but I'm glad that we have some really fast teammates to lean on.
Is there a particular area where your team is really trying to focus right now that you feel is the biggest, I guess, hindrance that you've been fighting?
Building fast race cars, faster race cars. I don't know. I feel like, kind of like I said earlier, I've struggled on restarts a lot this year with just, you know, instead of being on offense, I felt like I'm trying not to crash for a couple laps. So I feel like today was a step in the right direction in that, and excited to, well, I guess next week is probably going to be a whole different deal, but from then on, see how it applies.
Our next question will come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead with the question, Jacob.
Thanks, Matt. Alex, going back to the conversation about leaning on your teammates, you referenced how strong the start has been, that you thought maybe it was the best that Hendrick has had. Do you feel like that a lot of that is because of how closely you guys are working together? And was there a conversation before the start of the season that you guys need to be tighter knit as a group?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we ended last year really strong as well. With a 9 win in the championship, I think we scored the second most points during the playoffs, or at least had until the very last race. So, you know, we all ended the year pretty strong. I feel like that's carried over. I feel like anytime you kind of move people around and have some new faces, whether it's, you know, Kyle, a new driver on the 5, Rudy, a new crew chief on the 24, typically that like sparks, you know, positive things pretty quickly. So, I feel like that's, you know, they've both been great additions. But I really think it just stems from ending last year so positive and, you know, continuing the positive momentum.
Greg Ives has been the constant for you, as you just alluded to. What has he brought to the team? You know, how has he helped make you a better driver?
Riddles. he likes to talk in riddles. So I feel like, you know, Greg and I are both a little awkward at times, but I think, you know, recently Greg has stepped up and kind of identified some areas that he can help me in the race car, whether it's on the radio, you know, keep giving me more information and helping me understand things or telling me, you know, things I can do differently and what he sees on the driver data and stuff like that. So, I feel like today Greg talked more on the radio than he has any race I've ever been a part of. And I think it was really positive. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've been working together for like 4 years now, but, we still are learning, and I feel like, you know, we've learned some things that he can do to help me, and it's definitely showing.
Our final question for Alex will come from Rob Tiongson. Go over the question, Rob.
Hey, Alex, congratulations on your podium finish this afternoon. You know, you guys at the 48 team are off to a terrific start as a whole, but I have to ask you about your expectations ahead with the unpredictable race at the Bristol Dirt Race.
I'm excited. You know, I may not be a dirt guy per se, but I probably have more dirt starts than most, I guess, going into Bristol. You know, I ran a couple different midget series for a couple of years, and while I ran pavement more than dirt, I did run some dirt stuff. I'm going to race my wing sprint car this year as well. So I definitely enjoy the dirt thing. I'm ready to go. I ran the ARCA race on dirt. I feel like that was somewhat similar. I don't know what to expect. You know, you saw the track get pretty rough over the last couple nights. But those late models make a lot of grip and do some crazy stuff with the rear suspension that I guess kind of probably tends to dig the racetrack up a little bit. Our cars are heavy, but I don't think they'll, at least, I don't know. We'll see if they do the same thing or not, but, I'm just excited. I love new and different things. I think going somewhere completely different than what we've done in the Cup Series for forever is pretty awesome. Who knows if it's going to be amazing or not great or what the racetrack's going to do or what's going to happen. But I think just the fact that it's new and different and exciting, is really cool to be a part of.
Appreciate it, Alex. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking the time to join us and good luck at Bristol.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Good deal. And we're going to continue right along here with our race-winning driver, Ryan Blaney. That number 12, if you have questions for Ryan, go ahead and raise your hand. Or we're going to go and start with Stephen Connolly. Go ahead with your question, Stephen.
Congratulations on the win today, Ryan. I'm curious of how much that you had to save at the beginning of that final run. And then were you a little surprised that Larson fell off as much as he did at the end?
Yeah, you're always kind of saving, right? You never know when cautions are going to come out and when they're not. But, we fired off after the last green flag stop. And, it was going to be over a 50-lap run. So, you're like, I do need to save a little bit, even if you do get a caution, if you save a little bit and not lose a lot, you'll be fine. So, yeah. And I knew our strong area of our car was not the short run. We weren't that good on the short run. We could just kind of maintain, not with Larson, he would drive away, but just maintain with everybody. And then after 15, 20 laps, we kind of start coming forward. And then towards the end of those longer runs, we'd really start coming forward. And that we made a big step on that in the last stage. And, just getting tighter. I was pretty free all day and we were be able to get tighter and keep the rear tires under it. It looked like he was getting pretty free. So just able to drive up and get a good run off 3 and 4 and get by and pull over.
Yeah.
And with the age of this surface, they talk a lot about the repaves, but saw the cars moving around a lot today, the bumps being a big struggle. Can you describe how physically demanding this racetrack is and what it takes to maneuver around this racetrack?
Yeah, it's tough. I know people have been having talks about the repave, but I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. I mean, I think you talk to anybody, they really like this place the way it is. Yeah, it's rough. I mean, the bumps, getting down to the bottom 1 and 2 is rough. 3 and 4 kind of, you got that wavy kind of set of bumps there. It makes it hard to hold the line. It's just a big challenge. I talked to Todd a lot today about our car hitting the racetrack pretty hard and it upsetting it. And we got that, as the race went on, it got a little bit better. It's just the challenges of Atlanta. And, sometimes you can do your best to try to get over them and get over those bumps. But a lot of the times you just kind of have to just drive through them and work on your car around those bumps.
Thank you.
And we are now also joined by winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Todd, walk us through that win from your perspective today.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Felt like we've had long run cars here in the past. I thought last year we were that way and definitely paid off with that last stage being almost a fuel run. So, excited about, everybody got a chance to work together here. I thought Pickery did a good job on pit road. I thought Ryan drove a heck of a race all day long and especially that last run, just kind of grinding his way forward to put some pressure on the 5 and it's just after a tough first couple races and starting with a pretty big points hole. I think the last couple of weeks we've been digging our way out of it and this is a place I really wanted to win at. I felt like in the past I've had opportunities that have been close, but you love winning at these places that are all old wore out racetracks because everybody's got to step up and do their part. And I thought Ryan did a great job today and guys put together a good race car for him.
Our next question is going to come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, this is for Todd. You probably heard what Ryan said about don't repave, but I'm curious if they
repave. Don't repave.
He's going to have the same answer as me.
Well, I guess my question
for 5 years and I'll say it for the next 10,
but they're not going to be able to go the next 10. So the question is if you're going to introduce the next gen car, is it okay to run on the old surface for a couple of years with next gen and then repave, or would you prefer to just have everything new at once?
This place is, you got to love these old wore out racetracks. You look at it, and you've got this place in California and Homestead come to mind for me. And Darlington's, come back into it. But when you look at it, like today, you saw cars run on the wall. You saw cars running and splitting that last seam up top. You saw cars running on the bottom. And the older that these surfaces get and the less grip that they got in them, you know, we can put a softer tire on it and you get cars that can run all over the place. And when we repave and get all the grip back in the asphalt, you know, there's a balance there, and the tires have to be harder to keep us in a box that we've got to be in. And you lose that ability to race all over the racetrack. So I would keep this surface as long as we can until it starts coming up. And when you get to that and it becomes a safety issue, then you have to address it. But until you get to that point, I'd love to race a next gen car here on this surface. And I'm glad we get to race it again later this year. Got great to have two events here at Atlanta now this year.
And for Ryan, was there a point in that last run where, I mean, I'm sure you never lost confidence, but was there a point where you're like, oh, Larson is beatable today and I've got enough to beat him?
You know, honestly, I didn't really think that until the, you know, I'd say the start of the last stage. You know, he had a huge lead there in that second stage. And then he didn't really get that far out in front of me. You know, in the start of the third stage, and then we were running him down pretty good, you know, until we pitted there. And he got a little bit of ways away from me on pit road after we came out, and he stretched his lead out a tiny bit, but I was just like, all right, you know, it's going to be a 50 plus lap run. I'm going to try to save my stuff a little bit. Hopefully we'll even out and he'll start coming back to me, because he started coming back to me really hard at the end of that first run. So, you know, yeah, the start and halfway through the final stage, I had confidence that we made really good changes to our car, and just hoping that, you know, it'd be a long run towards the end, because that was really the only shot we had to beat him. I wasn't going to beat him in a, you know, 10 lap shootout. His car was so good, but luckily and more fortunate, it played out for a long run. And he said, just great long run car, like Todd said, just awesome.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with the question, Jordan.
Hey guys, I have a few questions, and this first question is for both Todd and Ryan. You guys, over the last few years, have had a lot of races. You guys have led a lot of laps, been dominant, been in position to win, and then seen something happen where it's gone away. This was kind of the opposite of that today. Does it feel good to get a win like this after what you've had these experiences before?
Who wants to answer first?
Go ahead. I just got done talking.
All right. Yeah, it does. I think there's a lot of things that, you know, this is just the growth of a relationship and, you know, confidence building amongst each. It's great to be in a position where you're chasing them down, where you're the hunter, not the honey. And, you know, I think it just speaks for, I've watched Ryan grow in the last 14 months. He's had tons of speed and he continues to do things, and we're understanding what we need to do as a race team to give him better stuff at the end of the race. And there's been places we've gone the other way, and that's all part of the learning curve, but trying to put that together. Yeah. It's, you know, I was thoroughly impressed with the drive there after stage two. And like what Ryan talked about, he knew that, you know, late in that run before the pit cycle and in the final run, he was running Kyle down pretty hard. And love the fact that you could put the pressure on them and still run up there at the top. And I think this is something that we as a team can continue to build off of. And I think there's a lot more opportunities to do this. And yeah, we've had a couple of situations where it's gone away from us, but I would say that we all are figuring out what those pieces are that we can put together to make sure that we're successful at the end. And today was a culmination of those. We'll build off that.
Yeah. I mean, you know what Todd said, it is a little bit of the opposite. You know, from last year, we led tons of laps in some races and just didn't work out. But, you know, today, you keep yourself in the hunt, you know, at all these races. You know, you keep yourself running up front and, you know, you're going to stack up wins. You know, today was a great example. We weren't the best car to the first half of the day, and we kept working on it. And, you know, everyone did a great job, pit crew included, of keeping us in the game, you know, keeping us top three all day. And we got our car to where it needed to be. And we were able to capitalize on it. So it's just about staying in the game. And, you know, we did that really well today. So I'm proud of everybody.
And the second question, this is for Ryan. You've won a race now for five straight seasons. You have not won two races in a season. Going into this year, was that a goal? Was that the expectation of, hey, we've got to take that next step and become a multi-race winner?
Oh yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, yeah, it's nice to win a race every year, but you know, you don't want to just win one race, you know, and honestly, you don't want to, you know, it's nice to get a win early in the season right now, you know, we're what, six races in, something like that. And, you know, six different winners, but you know, it's nice to get a win early in the season. That's something that's kind of eluded us. You know, we got that win at Talladega last year, but it was a little, you know, it was mid season. So getting one early, is great. And, you know, we had the potential to do it last year. And like Todd said, we're just learning each other and, just really proud of the effort. And I look forward to, you know, the rest of the season here.
Thanks, guys.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead with the question, Jim.
I have one question for Todd and one question for Ryan. For Todd, from a crew chief perspective, how did you look at a potential 56 lap run to the finish on the tires and the way that they were working today for your team?
I was foaming at the mouth, excited about it. I think, you know, as you looked at it later in the runs, we were running guys back down and, you know, the race kind of played out with the comp caution at 25, then you've got a little bit longer run and then to split the stage one in half. And then stage two was another 8 or 9 laps that you had to run. So as we kept seeing that go, we saw the speed of our car on the long run and what Ryan was able to do with it. And, I was actually contemplating short pitting that last cycle as soon as we got in our fuel window, just to force everybody into a long run there. But I shrunk up and a little chicken there. But definitely was excited to see the cycle start when it did. Was just trying to work through a couple of things on what we want to do that final adjustment. We were talking through some things back and forth, and I wasn't willing to pit until we got to that point. So glad to see the cycle start a little early and jump on it, because I felt like that was going to put us in a good window for the last 20 laps of the race, and like it did today. So we've had good long run cars at different places. This was one that I really felt like last year we did, and we knew what we wanted to do, make it a little better. We were able to do that. And I was really excited to see a 56 lap run.
Thanks. And for Ryan, with the win in hand early in the season, now heading to unfamiliar territory with a dirt race, what's your approach going into that weekend, next weekend?
Go get another win. You know, I mean, it's, you know, no one knows what to expect, right? You know, I mean, everyone's just, they're going into it very optimistic. And, you know, from seeing videos of, you know, the late models that have been racing on there here this week, yeah, the track's gotten pretty rough. Now, granted, we aren't going to be going nearly that fast that those guys are going. You know, we'll be seconds and seconds slower than them. So we'll see, but no, I'm excited. You know, it's my dad actually ran, you know, the dirt race at Bristol in the early 2000s when they did it. They did it for like 3 years and he did it 1 year and he said it was just incredible in a sprint car. So that's neat to bring him back. But no, I'm just excited to see how it all plays out. You know, it's going to be nice to be able to practice, you know, and then have heat races and then race, you know, that part's going to be nice. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be something new and drivers like new things.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with the question, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, gentlemen. Just curious, Ryan, how much patience did it take for you to tell the team, I'm just going to let Kyle go, he's just too fast, and then save your equipment there for the end?
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah. You know, we got the lead on pit stop, you know, well, the wall guys did a great job, you know, getting out there ahead of him. And well, they would hold him off for a little bit, but he was just so good. And on the short run there. And, you know, yeah, if I was going to stick with him, I wasn't even going to be able to stick with him. And I was going to burn my stuff all the way up. So I was like, I just got to save my tires. I just got to save my right rear. And we'll see what happens, you know, because at that point, when I said that, no one was able to touch him all day. You know, he would straight away, yeah, and then even more than that. So it's like, I just got to ride here and we'll see what a longer run, you know, if he starts coming back to us. So, yeah, just kind of the position you were in or I was in, just knowing that if I try to hang with him, which I wouldn't be able to even hang with him, I'm just going to burn my stuff up. And then when he started coming back to us, it, you know, obviously he's paying dividends, being patient. So just understanding, you know, trying to be a little smarter about this stuff, not just have a heavy right foot. So it's cool to win here today when you got a place to where you have to finesse it a little bit and, you know, kind of think ahead. So that was good, but just, it goes back to just knowing we had a good long run car, you know, like Todd said, just, you know, what you got, you try to play to your strengths. And that's really where that comment came from.
And Todd, what kind of relief is it to have a driver that has some maturity? Because, you know, a lot of guys, they don't want to be the rat, or they want to be the rabbit. They want to get out there. And I mean, a lot of times you have to pull in the reins. And I mean, the fact that he shows that kind of wherewithal, I was pretty impressed by that.
Yeah. He's done a great job. And I think, you know, it's, he's got great balance because if you get him in the right position, he can run a lot of speed. You know, there's places that we've been able to do that and had success with it, but, you know, it's good to keep composure. I think he did a great job of managing the situation, understanding this, like he said, understanding the strengths of your race and, play to it. It's really cool to watch the maturity and just, you know, see the fruits of the labor, in the end. Cause, I kind of saw us whittling at the five cars lead there, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger going back. So did a really good job, and I'm really proud of him, and proud of the growth that I think we've had as a race team.
Thank you. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Deb Williams. Go ahead with the question, Deb.
Thank you. Congratulations, gentlemen. And this is for Todd Gordon. Todd, before this track was reconfigured, it was really conducive to Ford because of the long sweeping turns and the short straightaways. The turns were longer than the straightaways. This is Ford's fifth win in a row here at Atlanta. Do you still see the track as an advantage for Ford's? And if so, why? Because I noticed that Ryan was running the top groove when he was running down Larson after having been on the low groove.
Yeah, I think I don't know that I'd say that. I mean, really, if we have cautions that break this up differently, we talk about how dominant the Hendrick group was, or, you know, because I felt like we raced the 48 and the five most of the day, and, you know, the nine got in the back and got some damage. So I don't know where he was going to lay out, but it's been a good racetrack for us. I think as a whole for our organization, Team Penske, I feel like the rougher, wore out racetracks are a place that we work pretty hard at. Are good. I can't speak for why Ford or why not somebody else. I think if you looked at it overall speed, I wouldn't say that it was, you know, dominated by Ford today. I thought actually the Hendrick group was probably the strongest organization, but we hit on what we needed to out of our notebook from prior races. So can't really put it on the Ford piece, but, you know, it's great that we've got five wins in a row for the Blue Oval.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Stephen Toronto. Go ahead with the question, Stephen.
This is going to be a question for Ryan. Ryan, it was actually this race 20 years ago that was probably your dad's best chance ever to win a Cup Series race. Knowing that and having watched his career, did the sight of him trying to win a Cup race for so long, does it make you appreciate the fact that you've won five even more?
You know, I'm really happy you brought that up. I was going to bring it up before I left anyway, because I wanted to talk about it. Dad was here today in the stands, and he texted me today. He said, this is the 20 year anniversary of, you know, he was whipping butt in that Amoco car and that race, and the damn tire, the wheel fell off the car, ruined his day, lost the race. He was dominating. And I told him today, I said, we'll win one for the 20th anniversary. And it's, I don't know how solar cycles line up, but every 20 years or something, I don't know, but happy that we were able to avenge that loss on him. But, you know, dad just, he's taught me everything that I know. He still comes to, he was, like I said, he was here today. He comes to as many races as he can, just sits in the stands nowadays. Obviously he can't come in the infield, but he's someone I've always trusted. You know, have been fortunate to have a dad who's done it all. Seen it all, And I still go to him to for advice, you know, about anything. And he, you know, whether it's a stern talking to, or it's help, or it's, you know, careful advice. You know, I've always enjoyed talking to him and hearing what he's got to say, and just him being around, that means a lot. You know, I grew up watching Dad race, and now I'm racing full time in NASCAR, and he's watching me. So that's pretty cool. But, you know, Dad never got the best of opportunities at the Cup level. You know, he drove for some great race team, you know, Bill Davis and 1 year at RCR, but, you know, he was never with, you know, a powerhouse group, I'd say, like a, you know, a Penske or a Hendrick or a Gibbs, you know, and I hated that for him, that he never got that shot. You know, he was almost a little bit too old when he got into the sport, because he was running sprint cars for so long. He never got a great shot with a amazing team, like, you know, I've been really fortunate to do. So, but it's just nice to have him here. I can't wait to call him and tell him I told you so. We got one back for you. So.
That's awesome. Thanks, Ryan. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Chris Knight. Go ahead with the question, Chris.
Hey, Ryan. The Cup Series comes back to you here in July for the summer race. Did you learn anything today that could help you for that race, or is it completely different because of the track conditions, and how much will you beg Todd to let you bring back this car?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it'll change. You know, it was pretty cool out today. The sun was out most of the race, I think. Might have been overcast, you know, half and half, but it was pretty chilly today. The start of the race was a little warm, but as the sun was going down, it was starting to get cool, and I think they changed the track. So when we come back here, you know, in the summertime, it's going to be hotter and slicker. You can almost compare it to what, you know, when we came back to Atlanta last year, you know, after we got back racing, I think it was around the same time. So yeah, speed's going to slow down. It's going to be slicker, but there's definitely notes you can take from today and apply them to the next Atlanta race, how you build your cars, you know, but you know, your basic setup might be a little bit different, but I think you're obviously learn a lot and put stuff in your notebook and try to apply it for the next one, even though it will be a lot hotter.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Steve Hummer with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Go ahead with your question, Steve.
Yeah, Ryan, what do you make of the six different winners in the first six races, and does it speak for any kind of new or different kind of competitive balance in the sport?
I'm happy I'm one of them. All right. I'll tell you what, we got to five. I was like, oh, we're stacking them up, racking them up pretty quick, and we need to win one here. But, yeah, I mean, I think it just shows how many people can win in this series, in this sport. You know, you have different winners from different organizations. You know, I think that just shows how competitive it is. And I feel like, you know, everyone is doing a great job of figuring out ways to work with their crew chiefs and drivers and teams. And it just goes all, you know, in the off season of prep work and how you're going to unload and show up to race. So, yeah, it's just something, you know, we've probably never seen this. I don't know when the last time there was six different winners in the first six races. But, you know, yeah, it just shows that a lot of great teams are out there, and you have to be on top of your game. It just shows how many people can win. And, there's 15 other teams that can win, you know, at the Cup level. So, yeah, it just shows how competitive it is.
Our next question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead with the question, Kelly.
Thanks. I have one for Ryan and one for Todd. Ryan, along those same lines, is there anything about any trends or anything from the first 6 weeks that is surprising when it comes to who is and isn't performing right now?
You know, obviously I think the Hendrick cars are really good. They got a couple wins. The five car was crazy fast today. He dominated the whole race, pretty much most of the race, you know, until the last 15 laps or whatever it was, 20 laps when we were starting to catch them. But, you know, so they were good. I think all their cars ran good today. You know, the nine had trouble. I say the biggest surprise for me, you know, Stuart Haas has been struggling a little bit, which is, I think, shocked everybody. But, you know, great team. They'll figure it out, you know, and they'll get back to where they need to be. Kind of this, the racing is kind of just a big cycle, you know, teams are up top and then other teams find something and it just keeps kind of rotating. And I think, you know, obviously we showed our speed today at the Penske group. I think the other a couple cars got damaged for what I was told, but the 21 ran pretty good. I saw him up there a good bit of the day. So I think we're really close, and we made a big step from, I'd even say from Vegas the last mile and a half, and even Homestead to now. So I was really proud of the leap, but you got to keep working, and you have to do the best you can at finding new things, because, you know, every other team's doing that same.
Todd, I've heard from a few crew chiefs that inspection is a little different this year, and that's kind of maybe accounting for some things with teams. Has that affected you guys at all? And what are you seeing with the differences that NASCAR's inspecting this year?
Yeah, I think, Jay Fabian does a great job, series director, and he looked at it where we were as a sport last year. And, I think there were some thoughts that the optical scanner was going to lease everything, but we got a lot of smart people to keep working at things. And there were places that we were able as a sport to work around the optical scanner and kind of get it where we could make more downforce. And that's as a sport, we got there, and Jay and the whole NASCAR group, they tried to reel some of that creativity back in and made some templates that would address areas that they felt like they were losing control of. And he made it very clear in the offseason that this was going to happen, and we all knew it. But I do think that it's created a little more parity across, and it's taken some downforce away, which I think puts on good racing, because we're sliding around at places like Atlanta. So we're trying to understand, how we work our balance back around the aero balance that we've got now. And, obviously at Homestead, Ryan talked a little bit about it, but we missed it at Homestead because we didn't account for the shift as well as we needed to. And, but we learned from it and brought that here to another wore out racetrack and had success with it. So, I think what NASCAR is doing from an inspection standpoint is fair for everybody. It's leveled the playing field a little bit more. And, that's kind of how this whole sport works is, we as teams continue to try to find places that we can work that are advantages for us. And NASCAR looks at it that, kind of in a global scale and says, okay, where are we not policing? And they've come back to that. So, I think it's a level field and one that we have all, we're having to learn a little bit from what our notebooks were last year, but, we'll continue to work forward in the areas that we can.
Our final question for these gentlemen will come from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead with the question, Daniel.
Thanks. Hey, Todd, question for you. So what has your preparation been like for the Bristol Dirt Race? When did you start working on this race, and just what are you expecting?
So my preparation is ask Ryan what he and his dad think, because I've never raced on dirt to speak of at all. And, so we're trying to understand what all needs to happen. And, watching all the video you can and just trying to understand through all the, shop testing that we can do and what we can do. And, trying to understand what it's going to take to run on dirt. And it's great because Ryan's dad has spent a fair amount of time just talking with me and with my engineers and myself, and you trying to understand it was what it would be like. And fortunately, Dave ran one of the truck races at Eldura with in Brad's truck team. So he understands a little bit of what taking a stock car type chassis, our type of a race car, to a dirt track. And, it's not going to be running like these late models where the left rear jack's underneath itself and it's got like 4 inches of skew and in the housing and, everything that's going on. So trying to pick off the people around us, obviously Jeremy Bullen's the crew chief on the two car. He has a dirt late model he plays with on the side. Has done that for a couple of years. So, just gathering information where we can and trying to watch the events. And then, Joey ran a modified at Bristol last weekend in a sequence of stuff there. So just trying to learn from everybody we can around us. And it'll be interesting when we get there. Definitely an uncharted territory.
Thank you.
Great. Well, gentlemen, congratulations on the win. Go celebrate, and good luck next week at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Thank you, buddy.
Good deal. Thank Take you. Care now.
This is WFO Radio.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.